The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
And I'm hoping to open your eyes tonight by the Word of God to see it. Because when you see it and you say, I don't have to live like that anymore. I don't have to be trapped in my past.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers.
I am so encouraged about today's show because I believe that you're going to get some answers today that will really change your life. It is God's desire to heal us from the pain of our past. But we know that process of healing isn't always easy, and that's what we'll be talking about today. Our show today comes from a question that we received on social media, and Tony is asking the question that many, many of us are asking. I'm broken. Can God do the work on me that will change my life? Well, Tony, you are certainly not alone, and sometimes it does feel impossible, but take hope. Today, we will explore that question together. You'll hear about one man's journey to healing, and as we begin, Joyce will share her own story as she answers the question, how can I heal from the pain of abuse?
I thought when I walked away from my dad at the age of 18 that I was away from the problem, that I did not have the problem anymore. I'm going to get away from this problem, and then it's going to be over in my life. But I didn't realize that although I walked away from the problem, I took it with me in my soul. I still had the results of it in my soul. And many people don't realize that they need healing in their soul. Just because you get away from something that's hurting you, that doesn't mean that it has not wounded you. Jesus said He came to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. What is a brokenhearted person? I believe it's someone who's broken in personality. My dad abused me sexually over and over and over for somewhere between 12 and 15 years. That's basically all I ever remember. My mom didn't know what to do about it, even though she knew about it, so she just didn't do anything. And so he abused me, and she abandoned me, and I spent a lot of really lonely, lonely years. Lonely years. God gifted me to help people, and Satan wounded me, so all he hoped I would ever do would be hurt people. But thank God. Well, thank God. He heals the brokenhearted. He opens prison doors and He sets the captives free. Amen. And I want to tell you tonight that Jesus can heal you everywhere you hurt. He didn't just die so we could someday go to heaven and have a mansion in the sky and finally be happy. Thank God if we miss everything else, there's still that. But I don't want us to miss that. Eternal life starts the moment that we receive Christ. And eternal life includes life as God now has it. And I can tell you that He is not sitting in heaven tonight feeling sorry for Himself. He is not full of bitterness and resentment. He is not depressed. He is not discouraged. He is not despondent, disappointed, or in despair. And we have that same kind of life dwelling on the inside of us. If we can just get it out of us, into our soul, where it can begin that healing process we need, and then it can show up in our lives. Isaiah 61:1-3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and to heal the brokenhearted. Wow. To proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives and the opening of the prison and of the eyes of those who are bound. So, here it is. The prison doors are opened, and I'm hoping to open your eyes tonight by the Word of God to see it. Because when you see it, and you say, I don't have to live like that anymore. I don't have to be trapped in my past. I don't have to feel that I'm worthless because my mother told me I was when I was 10. I don't have to feel like it's my fault that my neighbor abused me. I don't have to live my life full of hatred and bitterness. This is a new day. The mercy of God is new every day. And today's a new beginning for me and a new beginning for every one of you and a new beginning for every one of you watching by television. You know, we love all you guys that watch by TV. You're amazing. Thank you so much for watching my program. And I hope and pray that it heals you, that the Word of God heals you in every area of your life.
Well, you may feel trapped in your past, but be encouraged by what Joyce is saying, and most importantly, by what the Word of God says. We do not have to be trapped. And before we continue with Joyce's teaching, I want you to meet a man right now who understands what you may be going through as well. His name is John McFadden. And John, thank you so much for being here with us. We really appreciate it. You understand what Joyce has been talking about. You have a history of painful experiences in your life. Tell me a little bit about what your family was like.
Well, I was born into an affluent family, so if you were looking from the outside, it would have looked really pretty. My mom was a raging alcoholic, and my father was a workaholic. My mom was really not there a lot. She'd be gone, and when she was there, you really didn't know what to expect as far as nice mom, mean mom, more and more mean mom. She had a dog strap that she was very good with, and you just never know what was going to set her off and you know exactly how it was going to end, but it usually wasn't going to end good. Verbal abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse was fairly rampant.
Even beyond that, you ended up basically facing a choice that no one should face. You began to experience a sexual abuse from a neighbor and making the choice, which house would I rather be at? Right. What am I going to experience?
Not ever being safe in the house, you start looking for places that you can be safe.
Yeah. Makes sense.
One of my mom's favorite things to do was to send us to our room for the weekend with a big stack of paper, and she'd say, I want you to go write 10,000 lines. I love my mother and I will behave, and it would just make it some real long, crazy sentence. And we couldn't come out, you know, no food, no meal. We had to stay in our room, and it kind of gave her, you know, the ability to go do stuff without having to get a babysitter. And I remember having a basket with a rope on it that I would drop out of my second story window, and had an older neighbor boy that lived behind us right up the hill that his mom would make us, they kind of knew a little bit what was going on, and he'd make sandwiches and bring them down and sneak sandwiches up to us over the weekend. One time, can't remember where my mom was, she was out doing what she does, and the power went out, a big snowstorm. And I remember that they came down and rescued us out of our home. Mm-hmm. And I vividly remember walking up this small hill behind our house and standing on top of the hill and turning around and seeing our house in the dark with the white snow background, and turning around and seeing their house all lit up and the smoke coming out of the fireplace and being warm and inviting. And so we go up there, and his mom has a meal, a warm meal waiting for me, which I'm thinking, how can it get any better than this,
right,
really? And then she kind of, you know, put us to bed, and that was the first night of many that he raped me.
Oh, my.
For a couple of years, I mean, I remember, you know, when things got really crazy in the house and very brutal and painful. And I mean, I remember standing on top of that hill, looking, going, do I stay here or do I go go up here when I know what's going to happen after I get that warm meal.
What a horrible, horrible choice for anyone to have to face, especially a child.
Yeah, so I was probably about 7, 8 years old.
We know that healing is a process.
Mm-hmm.
You had to begin that process at some point, and God and His Word, those were the answers that you found. That's what started turning things around for you.
Absolutely. I knew that there was a God, and I believed, I was raised a Christian, but I always felt like there was something wrong with me. Everything that was in the Bible was good for you, it was good for my kids, it was good for my wife, but for whatever reason, it wasn't good for me. There was something wrong with me.
Yeah.
And so it was coming to that realization that, it is. For God so loved John McFadden that he gave his only son, that he would do it all just for me if I was the only person on the face of the earth, was the big change.
Well, I want to find out how that happened, because that process is so important that we take those first really difficult steps sometimes. And Joyce is going to continue talking about how that healing is a process as we get back to Joyce, and then we're going to talk more to John in just a minute. Stay with us.
In those early years, I needed so desperately to believe the promises of God as I was trying to study this and walk it out in my life. I'm not going to tell you that if you've been hurt really bad and you've got a big mess in your soul, your mind is messed up, your emotions are messed up, you don't know how to make right decisions, maybe you want to be in control of everything, or maybe you've become real passive and you don't want to make any real choices, you just kind of float through life and wait to see what's going to happen day after day. It's going to take some time and some diligence and some study and some prayer to walk out this healing that is yours by virtue of the blood of Christ. What we have legally as a gift from God, we have to learn how to apply experientially in our everyday life. And sometimes people get confused because they say, but you said Jesus set me free. Well, then why am I not free? You said I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. So why am I still in a mess? You said that He would give me beauty for ashes, but why is my life still falling apart? Because all of those things they do belong to every one of us. Every person watching by TV, you've ever been hurt, anybody's ever abused you, misused you, you've been abandoned, you've been betrayed, you've had peers in your life make fun of you, you've been rejected, whatever it is, and you're emotionally wounded right now. You're what I would term a broken-hearted person. The good news is Jesus has already set you free. He has already set you free. Now, part of my job as a teacher in the body of Christ is to teach you how to walk out of those prison doors, those prisons that already have open doors, to teach you to see what's yours and to believe it enough to reach out and begin to put it into action in your life. It's a wonderful journey. Absolutely amazing, wonderful journey. How many of you think you understood what I just said? At least to some degree, okay? And it helps to understand that, because then you're not wondering, well, if I'm saved, what's wrong with me? Well, you know, you can be saved, but maybe you haven't renewed your mind yet. I was saved, but I mean, my mind was a garbage pit. I didn't know how to think right. I was critical and judgmental and suspicious and angry, and many of my thoughts were dark and lonely, and I didn't know that every time I read this, I was learning how to think different. If we know how valuable this is, we'll spend a lot more time in it than just a few seconds a day, maybe on a good day. Amen? My emotions were a mess. I didn't know how to get along with people. I was a nightmare in relationships. And my will was messed up. I went from one extreme to the other. I either had to be in control, or if I got around somebody stronger than me, then they would control me. So I would bounce back and forth from being controlled to being in control, and being controlled to being in control. And that's not the way that God wants us to live. And I'm kind of giving you a little picture of some of the problems that I had, because I want you to know that even though I was saved and going to heaven, I was miserable because I needed healing in my soul.
Well, Joyce said it, healing is such a gift from God. And without him, that healing will never be complete. We've been talking with John McFadden, and John has been sharing about some very difficult times that he went through, abuse on many different levels, physical, emotional, and sexual. And John, for anyone to talk about abuse of any kind is opening their heart up. It's very difficult to just broach that topic. You know, this is what I experienced. But especially for a man to go even that next step to saying, I face sexual abuse, that's not something that we see very common. It's very difficult to talk about. How was that for you when you began actually facing, I need to confront this?
Well, it had obviously gotten to a point in my life where getting healing was a necessity, because it was literally life or death. So, through some vows that I had made and some manipulations by the enemy, I had a failed suicide attempt, and I was very fortunate that the church that I attended had some very specialized care for adult survivors of child abuse, and they got me into some care that was very specific for me. Even with that level of specialized care, I still didn't talk about my sexual abuse for years.
So you would talk about the other abuse?
I would talk about the other abuse, which was enough. I mean,
right.
We've only scratched the surface.
Absolutely.
Here. I had stories that they just blew their hair back. And I didn't have to talk about the sexual abuse. I could hold that secret still, but it was still a secret that was in the dark that the enemy could use against me. It was almost a couple of years. There's a lot of people that could be watching this that are going to go try to get some help, that are going to get some really poor responses and some really poor answers. The biggest one is forgive and forget.
Because when they finally do share it, when they get up
right.
that nerve people and they know now's the time, they get a bad response.
Bad response. And there's good responses out there. The most freeing experience of my life was when I was in a place safe enough that I could tell my deepest core shame to someone and still have their eyes. And for them to say, you know what, I'm still here and I'm not going anywhere.
Right. And I'm not going to brush over this.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And get
over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But that facing it, that dealing with it, was that an important part of your process?
It anytime you bring something out of the dark and into the light, the enemy can no longer use it against you.
So these answers that we're talking about, because we really do feel like there is no answer, that our lives are not going to change. But when we begin to experience who Christ is and get into his word and experience that change in our lives, I just want to ask, do those answers work?
Oh, John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But my good friend Jesus came for me so that I could have and enjoy my everyday life to the full until it overflows. I mean, that is my life verse. And so now, even when it comes down to every single thought that the enemy tries to place about my childhood or this or that or the other, I'm worthless, I'm trash, I'm disposable. Now, hold on a second. That thought is killing and stealing and destroying and robbing me of my joy. That's got to be from the wrong place.
Yeah.
So I'm going to change that. I'm looking for life to the full until it overflows. And for me, it was going up to the top of that little hill where instead of hating that little boy who stood on that hill, I got to get on my knees and hug him and love him and tell him it was okay. He did what he had to do, and that God loves him despite the choices he was forced to make.
John, thank you. What John was talking about, that honesty, that point that he had to get to face those things that are so hard, that is really a key, and there is healing for you. Be encouraged in how much God loves you, and those lies that you are worthless, forget those. They are not true. So let's get back to Joyce as she continues to share what God's word really says about who you are and the importance of honesty.
The world is filled with wounded people who don't know how to be who they are. They're not being themselves because they think whoever they are is not worth anything. And so they're pretending, trying to be somebody they're not, trying to be like somebody else, wearing masks, got a frozen smile on their face, acting like everything's all right when they're bleeding to death on the inside. And God doesn't want us to have to pretend. He wants us to get honest enough to receive the healing that's ours through the death and resurrection of Christ, and then be a real person, an individual person, confident in who you are in Christ, not having to compete with anybody or compare yourself with anybody else. Can anybody say amen? Amen. James 5:16 says, confess your faults to one another that you might be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. Now, obviously, we know that we confess our sins to God and that our forgiveness comes from Him. But it's good sometimes to just talk to somebody and get some things out of you. Choose wisely, but find a good friend, a trusted family member, a trusted spiritual leader, if you need to talk to somebody that you can talk to. I don't encourage anybody to go sit in counseling for 20 years, but if you need counseling, they're bound by law not to tell your secrets. Sometimes we just need to vent. We just need to get it out. For years and years and years, I mean, I was in my 20s before I ever told anybody what had happened to me. What a lonely secret to live with that many years. Why did I not tell anybody? I was afraid of what they'd think of me. I was afraid that my dad might find out that I told somebody. I was afraid that my mother might find out that I told somebody. That's exactly where Satan wants us living, in fear. He wants to practically ruin our lives and then make us afraid that somebody will ever find out. Maybe you used to be in prostitution and now you're afraid that somebody will find out. Whatever the case might be. Secrets buried alive never die. They just keep eating at us. When we come to a relationship with Christ, there's a divine exchange. Oh, I love it. He takes the bad stuff and gives us the good stuff. It's a good deal. Jesus gives us joy for mourning, beauty for ashes, praise instead of depression, respect for ourselves instead of shame, forgiveness instead of blame, hope instead of despair, righteousness instead of guilt, and on and on and on and on and on. But you cannot keep the ashes and have the beauty. You know, for many years, I said, well, if only I wouldn't have been abused. If only I wouldn't have been abused. You know, when Lazarus died, his sister Mary said to Jesus, if only you would have been here, Lord, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus, why weren't you here? So often we say that. Well, why didn't you help me when I was in that situation? Why didn't you help me when I was being abused? I prayed. I asked God to get me out of it. He didn't. He could have. He didn't. Well, Joyce, how can you not be mad at God? Because He's a whole lot smarter than I am. And I tell you something, now listen, he didn't get me out of it, but He got me through it. Come on now, I'm going to tell you something. He got me through it. And I want to tell you something. Now just wait. I got me some experience with God. God's taken that broken mess. And right here, right now, this message, my healed life, my restored life, this one message has the potential to start millions of people off in a right journey of healing in their life. And you know what? If God would have just gotten me out of it, what I wanted to get out of it, it would have been nice. I wouldn't have got hurt, but I wouldn't have this message tonight. I wouldn't have this message. And you know what? I don't know how God works all that out, and I know sometimes it doesn't seem fair to us, but I'll tell you one thing. Whatever I lost, oh, honey, let me tell you, God has given me double for my trouble. Amen? And He's going to do the same thing for you.
So be encouraged, and remember, you cannot keep both the ashes of your pain and the beauty that God wants you to have. So with the help of the Holy Spirit and God's Word, you can receive those promises that God has for you, healing in your life. Here's a great way that you'll get some help, because Joyce's book, Beauty for Ashes, is really a classic. This book is her testimony. It's her transformation of how God healed her from the sexual abuse that she faced in her life. And this book has helped so many people. It's a great place to start. Grab this. And it's really all about the Word of God. This book is full of God's Word. You can get it in paperback, and it's available to you right now. So we just really want to help you. Also, remember, if you want more in-depth study, there's a Beauty for Ashes action plan as well, which is available online. So you might want to check that out, because that's great for individual Bible study or for a small group. Well, we want to encourage one another. And so we have a comment that I want to share with you, but I also want to encourage you. Share your story, just like John did today. It will help so many people. Catherine is sharing. She said, 1.5 years ago, I was praying like crazy for God to heal my depression. I've suffered since I was 12. I woke up one morning feeling different. The next 3 mornings, I woke up with the same feeling again, and it took those 3 days to figure out that the depression was gone. That dark cloud, that heavy weight, it was gone. It had never returned, and it has been going on 1 year now. I never knew that it was possible to be healed from depression. Well, it's possible, and you can be healed, whether it's depression or abuse, whatever it may be. Let's be the answer for each other. Let's share what God is doing in your life. Facebook, Twitter, use hashtag EA. And if you have a question for us, hashtag Ask Joyce. Join us next week as Joyce answers the question, and this is a great one. What does the Lord's Prayer mean to me? You'll get new insight on that prayer that you've heard so many times, but it can make a difference for you. We'll see you then.
The preceding program was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.